Welcome everybody that's come to worship with us again today at the Reidsville Church. We appreciate your presence and the effort you made to come out today and worship with us at the Lindsay Street Primitive Baptist Church. We're glad to see Brother Robert and Sister Francine, their son again. They've been a good while since they've been with us. We're glad to have Brother and Sister Martin from Walnut Cove with us again. And still miss Sister Louise and Brother Stanley. Sister Marie's not here today. We miss her. And Brother Robertson, I guess he's off at the tobacco market, is he?
I haven't heard.
It's not. We miss those that's usually here. And when you're congregation is small, everyone counts.
One of the regulations, Brother Sister Hill.
Hill. Yeah, what did I say?
Martin.
Martin, I'm sorry. I knew better. I call him Brother Hill when they come in. Thank you. Today is a day we observe as Mother's Day, and we hail all of our mothers here today and in the Lord and wish them a happy Mother's Day. I've often said and usually say that there's no closer bond on earth, I don't think, than a mother and her children. And we all, those of us that's been fortunate enough to have godly mothers and good mothers, there's nothing that could replace that memory that we grew up with. One of the fondest memories I had the 3 years I was overseas was thoughts I had about my mother. So we're glad that you are able to be here with us today. And as we worship the Lord who gave us mothers and fathers and established the family, We hail you happy in the Lord. The family, I've always heard by psychologists and philosophers and people like that, the family is the most stabilizing unit of anything on earth. That's the means that God has established to have an orderly society. If it wasn't for the status of a family, if men and women just ran loose at random without being married and becoming stabilized, one man and one woman and raising a family, well, we can all imagine what kind of a chaos it would be. So the two institutions that God has established for orderly societies is the family and the church. And they are the most solidifying and stabilizing organizations that society has in order to have an orderly means of life. And of course, mothers are a very important part of that. Brother Keith, have you picked out a song? If not 45, well, you got one?
Number 30.
Number 30. And we'll sing that and go to the Lord in prayer. And we covered an interest in your prayers as we endeavor to go to the throne of grace. And hope you'll be blessed to pray for me, for the service, and for one another, the sick. We want to remember Brother Clyde, Sister Mabel. Sure has their problems. We've announced them before, Brother Clyde, but he's able to be around, and we're thankful for that. And Sister Mabel has found out there's something wrong with her heart. She was going to have an operation to try to get rid of the pain in her legs that's coming, no doubt, from her back. And now they got to find out more about her heart. So they think she has a hole in her heart. So we're waiting to hear more about that, and we want to remember her and them in prayer. Brother Hilton and Sister Janie were sick last meeting time. First meeting that Brother Hilton has missed since he's been a member here, I believe he said.
I know
it's the first one he's missed since I've been here. And we're certainly glad that he's able to be here with us today. And Sister Janie. Is there any other sickness that we got plenty of it at the other churches I visit, but we won't go into that. Try to remember all of them now. If not, let's sing number 30, and after that we'll try to pray.
How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord and one another's peace, delight, and soul fulfill His word. When each can feel his brother's side and with him bear a part, when sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart, let love in one delightful stream through every bosom flow, and union sweet with fondest theme and every action glow. Love is a golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love.
Did I announce about the flowers?
No.
I don't believe I did. The flowers were put here in memory of Sister Sally Haney by her daughter, Mrs. Dora Moore, Dora Moore. So we appreciate the flowers, and they're certainly beautiful. And we appreciate the thoughts. Bear with us as we try to pray. Our most holy and righteous and merciful and gracious and long-suffering Heavenly Father, it's again with thankful hearts that we bow to call upon thy great and holy name. thanking thee, our Father, for thy gift and for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and left the courts of glory, came into this sin-cursed earth and lived a holy, sinless life, that he might root out a clove of righteousness for his dear children, that it might be imputed to them, that they may stand forgiven for all of their sins and justified and reconciled to thy holiness, to thy grace, to thy mercy, and all, O Father, that thou dost require at our hands. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit, which thou dost send back to heaven after that thou hast fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle to the satisfaction of the Heavenly Father, to the extent that he raised thee from the dead and has seated thee besides himself at the right hand, waiting for all of thy enemies to be made thy footstool. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit that witnesses to thy word, the truth as it is in Christ, and seals it to our hearts that we may have it for our very own, and that none can take it from us once thou hast sealed it to us. How thankful we are, our Father and our blessed Savior and blessed Holy Spirit, the blessed three in one, the one true and living God, for all the benefits that we have received from thy hand, for thy church, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth, which thou hast committed to thy dear saints to keep them, not that they should keep thy word, which they should, but thy word does keep them from the world and from the evil one and from the things, O Lord, that separate from thee. We thank thee, O Lord, for all of these many mercies and blessings. And now, Lord, we thank thee for this day. We thank you for each household that's represented today and each heart that's bowed before thee. Lord, we pray thou would gather us together in love and in the bonds of peace, that we may truly worship thee, and that our worship and thanksgiving might be received by thee through the offerings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the working of thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee, O God, for this country, for the blessed privileges and liberties we have, for the prosperity that so many of us enjoy. We thank you, O Lord, for all of thy mercies and benefits and blessings. Now, Lord, we pray thou would bless thy word to the honor and the glory of thy great name. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This morning we were reading different texts and things, and we came across this scripture in the 20th chapter of Acts and the 32nd verse in particular is the verse that kind of jumped out at me this morning, and we'd love to speak on it, the Lord being our helper. And it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." The Apostle Paul, if you recall, had traveled throughout Macedonia and Asia Minor and Greece and the edges of Europe, and had established churches for which he was called for that purpose. And now he was on his way back to Jerusalem. He had more or less finished his circuitous routes. He made two or three trips doing that. Now he was on the way back to Jerusalem, from which he would go to Rome, where he would finally be martyred for the cause sake. So on his way back, he had stopped in Ephesus and called the elders of the church together. And let's see if I can say this. And Paul had determined to sail to Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost, and from Miletus to Ephesus, and call the elders of the church. I'd like to make a comment about that elders. The Apostle Paul classified himself not only as an apostle, but as an elder. The Apostle John, in his writings, referred to himself as an elder. And the Apostle Peter said he also was an elder. So they all claim that title as being among the qualifications of being an apostle. Not only were they apostles, but the apostleship included the gifts of the ministry. And they went by the name elders. In the 110th Psalm, on the 11th verse, I believe it is, it says that holy and reverend is his name. So reverend is the name of God. And it would certainly seem out of place to me for a man to take that title if it's the name of God. And that's the only time that word reverend is used in the Bible. At one time, the 110th Psalm, and I believe it's the 11th verse, says holy and reverend is his name. But there's not many that goes by the name of elder anymore, and the other denominations that do use that term, it's used in a lesser office than as the minister in most cases. So it's amazing how that what God has established and honors, man for the most part has little regard for, and he establishes his own rules and names and ignores those that God has given us. Time and time again, man does that, and he does it consistently, and much to his own hurt, of course. But anyway, and he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befall me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And that is the sum and the substance of the gospel, that sinners should repent toward God for their sins which offend him. We owe him repentance. And then he has sent his son into the world, and the gospel tells us about that. And so the sum and substance of the gospel is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So here's another title that the apostle uses as to the gospel. It is the gospel of the grace of God. Surely the favors, the mercies, and the benefits that we receive naturally, in nature, and spiritually through the Holy Spirit and the church, we do not deserve them. We have never done anything to deserve them. It is solely something that has originated out of the goodness and the mercy of God alone. And so it's the testimony of the gospel of the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And surely the Apostle Paul held nothing back. When you read all the epistles he has written to the churches, he gave us the doctrine. He gave us the practical portions of Scripture. But most epistles to the churches are evenly divided. The first chapters will be devoted to doctrine, and the last part will be devoted to duties and that which is practical, teaching us how to get along in the world and with one another, and how we should behave ourselves. And so he held nothing back. And he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, nor of his mighty power to proclaim it, and all of the doctrines that he had received. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What a wonderful verse of scripture that is. How the apostle Paul takes no credit for the apostlehood or the power that the apostles received as a body. The highest body in the church is the apostles. God has called some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the ministry and the welfare of the church. And so the apostle is the highest order in the church, and yet he says that to the elders. He's talking to the elders that he's called together there at Ephesus. And he says, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Not the apostles, not the church, not the ministry in general, not the deacons, not the sisters, not mothers and daddies and fathers, pass it on to you, but the Holy Ghost. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And the first burden and duty of a minister, if I know anything about it at all, is to feed his sheep and to feed his lambs. And, you know, after Peter had denied the Lord and he felt to be, I guess, cast off, the Lord appeared to him and he asked him three times. Said, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said, feed my sheep. And he asked him again and said, feed my lambs. And he asked him again and said, feed my sheep. So he repeated that three, he made Peter go through that three times. And here the Apostle Paul is exhorting the elders that he said, you'll not see my face no more. And you know how faithful I've been among you. He worked with his own hands. He would not receive support from the churches alone. He worked with his own hands. It says here that he stayed, he went, when he got there, he stayed with, said they were the same occupation, which was tent makers. He stayed in a home with a couple who was a tent maker like he was. And he labored with his own hands that he might not be beholden to the churches. And so the apostle is saying that this grace that you shall not see me anymore, and that though we have had this long association together, but now he said, take heed to yourselves and feed the church of God. And that is if they were made overseers by the Holy Ghost, then it was for the purpose of feeding the church of God, and not for the purpose of taking on exalted names, dressing up in elaborate, expensive robes, and making great and grand displays in great cathedrals, and making great displays before millions of people of the world to be exalted and praised and practically worshiped. And we've certainly seen a great display of that lately in the news. And that's not feeding the church of God. Has nothing whatsoever to do with the practical duty of feeding the church of God. And to be made to be exalted above other careers in life, to be looked upon by being exalted above even doctors and lawyers and things like that, is not the desire of a true minister of God. If there's anybody that feels like hiding from the world and not being exalted by the world, it's surely a minister of God, because he knows that what he is by nature is nothing. We have no righteousness of our own, and all that we have received, and every gift that we have is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Christ has ascended, has abolished death and ascended on high and received gifts for men. And if a man has a gift in the church, it's because he has received it and be given it by Christ for the benefit and welfare of the church. And they are servants of the church. They're not heirs. They're not lords over God's heirs, but they are servants, and they are subject to the church. The church has the power to sit them down. The church has the power to exclude them from the church if they don't take care of themselves. Look after yourself, he said. Take heed unto yourself. If a minister doesn't take heed unto himself, and he becomes a sore in the community that he lives in, in other words, he brings reproach upon the church, then the church, for Christ's sake, for the honor of his name's sake, should sit that man down, should discipline him. They should discipline their members, not because they feel like that they have the power and the right to do it, but because it's for the honor of his name's sake. It's for the glory of God. And we are to look, take heed unto ourselves. And because the Holy Ghost has made us overseers of the church of God to feed the flock of God, and which he purchased with his own blood. So the church is something that Christ was not only given to him in covenant bonds before the world began, but he also has purchased them. He has redeemed them. He has bought them back into the favor and a reconciled state before God, because their sins, our sins, have separated us from God. And therefore, God is holier than to look upon sin to condone it. He can't do it. And so therefore, we stand condemned by his just law and could not be brought in his presence in a way of favor, only in a way of judgment and condemnation, as the world will be brought in the last day. In the last day, Christ says, I will raise him up again in the last day. There's going to be a last day. And in that last day, the world, he shall be